Hello and welcome to the 128th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. Harry, we haven't done one of these podcasts since the end of the season, and what a spectacular end with a win over UNLV.
Yeah, I mean, just a dream come true type of season, and, you know, not only getting to a great bowl, but having a great crowd and getting the win. And now fast forward, another great day for the program, National Signing Day.
Well, let's real quickly, you know, we talk about how things have changed. You've seen a lot of Twitter activity. You've seen a lot of information out there. We got a lot of positive press from the win over UNLV. It was a great crowd. We haven't really talked about it, but it was a great crowd at the game. 38,000 people there, and I venture to say that, you know, 99% of them were North Texas fans. It was a huge turnout. Everything great. Everybody took the train down there, the party the night before. We got a lot of good publicity. Everybody was excited. People that hadn't been to the program were there. Huge turnout at the tailgating at the building there right next to the stadium. It was an awesome day, capped by amazing victory.
I've said this, and I mean, it's not just lip service, but it was probably the high water mark for me as a fan. You know, went to the New Orleans Bowls, and those were all great and everything else, but you just had a feeling that this was like a step above that, and that crowd had a lot to do with it. I think the thing that struck me the most about that day was that, you know, 8 out of 10 people I ran into I'd never seen before.
Yeah, that was a huge issue. There was a lot of people there. I mean, we took pictures. I took so many pictures of the crowd, and I haven't posted all of them yet, but there was a lot of people there that hadn't been there buying stuff. You could just tell by the clothing they were wearing. They hadn't bought any North Texas items in a long time, and they were buying them new. I don't know what they sold in gear this year, but they had to have sold a record amount.
Yeah, I mean, it's... You got the new logo now. You got the new colors. I thought it was neat.
Helmet was awesome. The black helmet, the fiber, the helmet, whatever. That was awesome.
Taking the, you know, my Twitter account now has a picture from the team coming out through that tunnel, which, let me tell you, some great football players have walked through that tunnel. But coming out in the new helmets and the new unis with the American flag and Coach Mack in front. I mean, it was a really cool scene.
It's setting the tone for this coming year. And obviously that victory did a lot for recruiting. I mean, you can't deny what it did for the university as far as being in media, and it had to have helped recruiting. And that's what we're here to talk about, the recruiting. Today was signing day. North Texas signed 19 players, signed a letter of intent today, 14 high school players, two junior college transfers, two mid-year enrollees, and one FBS transfer that will be eligible in the fall, which is very exciting news there. So I know you were up there today. Tell us the scene. Tell us what happened.
It was really nice. You know, the difference about this year was there wasn't a lot of last-minute changes or concerns. This was a class that got committed fairly early in the process and stuck with us. So there was a real commitment there. And the coaches talked today, Coach Mack in particular, about the fact that, you know, it was neat to have these guys stick with us, even though bigger schools and, you know, schools maybe with a little more tradition or whatever else were knocking on their door late in the game. But basically, a real nice class, just some big-time game breakers in this class. I would have to say the first name that comes to my mind about this class is T. Gurie, out of Carthage, Texas, wide receiver, 6'3", 170 pounds. Had programs like Arkansas knocking on his door late, stayed true to North Texas. And, you know, if you haven't watched this guy's video, it's on the Go Mean Green site, you know, right now. But he is just a playmaker. He is a guy that goes out and makes plays and wins ball games. So I think he's probably the bell cow of this class, but there's a lot of great talent, a lot of speed, you know, across the board. I think there's just a tremendous – this program under Dodge had gotten very slow. And I think the one thing that Mac's done that's sort of changed the face of the game for us, and John Sclodaney's a part of this as well, but they are recruiting speed at every position.
Well, and before we get to all the other players, just want to say something about T. Gurie. I mean, he obviously is from Carthage, which has a spectacular program there. O'Kieran Rutherford, he's also from Carthage. That's a great place to recruit out of. They've got a great program, a great history, and a great jumbotron. So they've got a lot of stuff going for him. I'm glad to see him. He's one of those players that when all throughout the fall, everybody's like, man, is he going to stick around?
Right.
Here's where Twitter comes in. And we discussed this earlier. Twitter has changed the face of college recruiting. You can get up to date from the player themselves what they're thinking. And
exactly.
That was good about Tigre. He was always North Texas, Mean Green. I mean, he kept saying it.
Which he was recruiting for us.
He was. He was saying, like, come on, man. Come on over, you know. Put your toe in. Come on. The water's great. I mean, that's really what it was. You got to wonder in the future, the problem with Twitter is there's so many anonymous on there. You don't know who's who, and trying to regulate that is just impossible.
It's impossible, and it's changed the face of recruiting. Recruiting will never be the same as it was before. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, because it does give all these players their moment in the sun, a chance to get out there and promote themselves to their followers. I think there's good and bad with social media, but I think the thing anyone, even the most diehard recruiting person would tell you is Twitter's not going anywhere. I mean, it's going to be a big component of recruiting going forward. It was interesting because part of the program they did before Coach Mack's press conference, they interviewed Craig Robertson, who's our former player that's at the Cleveland Browns and having a great NFL career. And they asked him about, you know, what had changed from when he got recruited to North Texas to now. And he brought up exactly your point, Evan, is Twitter and social media. They didn't have that back in those days. And now he said, you know, he went on and congratulated a few North Texas guys that signed, you know, that were signing. And he said his teammates at the Browns that are maybe from more bigger power schools are doing the same thing with recruits. So you've not only the greatest story, I think, of this recruiting period, and it didn't happen to deal with Tigre, but another player who we were recruiting, you know, one of the Von Erich brothers got on there.
I saw that. Eric Von Erich. I was like, are you kidding me?
I think it was David Von Erich.
One of the Von Erichs. Yeah. I know. I was like, oh, wow, there's a blast in the past.
Yeah, but, you know, he played football here, and he had some real nice comments, and it wasn't anything salesy or anything like that. It was just like, I like North Texas, you know, good luck in your decision. So it's not going anywhere.
Well, let's talk about today. I saw a lot of tweets. Johnny Quinn, who's in Sochi, Russia right now for the Olympics as a bobsled member, he's talking about the recruiting class. And he's got his hands full right now. And, you know, he's a former player, that's excited about the future.
Yeah. The thing about that comments from players, I mean, especially Johnny Quinn, and Johnny doesn't need to mention North Texas or he's got his hands full, like you said, but it just illustrates the fact that we all have a certain loyalty to our alma mater. I mean, and if you play athletics and you're Johnny Quinn and you're in the Hall of Fame at North Texas, you care about North Texas. And so it's just a great thing that we're going to get to watch Johnny on a national stage like this. And he already has said he will do the claw sign if they win the gold.
That's right. And Derek Thompson also tweeted today about the recruiting class. I mean, it's great to see a lot of this. But you know what? Let's go ahead and talk about some of these guys because,
yes,
you know, let's go a quick rundown. A lot of people will probably be listening to this on iTunes, listening in their car. We're going to make a quick rundown of the players. We're not going to go into too much detail.
Yeah, we'll save that for another time.
You know, just so you kind of know what we have, the positions that we're looking at these guys are. Are some of them going to contribute immediately? I'm sure they will. Some of them we're not going to see for a little while. And that's, you know, that's how it should be. So let's go ahead and talk about the first one. Jalen Adams, wide receiver out of Moore, Oklahoma.
Yeah, I think Jalen Adams is a guy that, you know, a lot of people thought was going to get an Oklahoma offer. He's very athletic. He's had a tremendous high school career. Did not get that OU offer. North Texas got in there early. They stuck with him. He stuck with us. I think the guy is very underrated. You hear a lot about Tigre and other guys. This guy might be someone that surprises you early on and breaks into the starting lineup.
Well, he was ranked number 15 in the Oklahoma Super 30 team. So, I mean, that says a lot about where he is. Mm-hmm. So it's great to see him there. He's a wide receiver. And that's a position where we were going to need help.
We lost Darnell Smith. We obviously lost Breland Chancellor, one of the greatest players to ever play in the program. It's a position, it was a need position going into recruiting, and they definitely addressed it.
They did, and that brings us to Fonzell Davis, wide receiver at South Oak Cliff. Obviously, this is someone that a lot of people were very high on.
I got to tell you, of all the players Mac talked about, this guy, he said, he got the most excited about. He was just... He just says he's an amazing athlete. He just makes huge plays. He's a game breaker. You know, he kind of signed on early on, and then T. Garee came into the picture, and you didn't hear as much about him. But don't forget that name, Fonzell Davis. This guy is a big-time player.
It is the best name.
It is a cool name.
It's a cool name.
It's a good football name.
It is a good football name. Everybody's going to know exactly who that is.
But a guy from South Oak Cliff, from the Dallas area, I mean, it could be a really neat story to see him come in and get some playing time.
All right. He was named to several lists, and obviously all district selection as a junior. There's a lot of great things here for him, and so he's a receiver too. So we got a lot of guys that could contribute right off the bat.
Receiver's one of those positions where you can a freshman kid come in and help you right away, especially.
Well, and let's not put the horse ahead of the cart here, but T. Garee is also a little further down on our list, but obviously a big name, a guy who blew it away. A lot of big schools wanted him.
Yeah, I mean, won the state championship, played against a lot of Division I. And I'm talking LSU, A&M type cornerbacks. I mean, guys that went to major programs, and he dominated. So, you know, some people say, well, he's not tall enough or he's not fast enough or whatever else. But, man, if you watch this guy, he just wins.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a big name. One of our alums, Mark Brown, who was
right.
a coach out in Carthage for quite a while, still out in the area. He was very high on this, saying, "Man, if we can get this guy, it's great." And it came through. He's got, I mean, if you look at the lists, and Dave Campbell, All Texas High School first team offense. I mean, it goes on and on. Great pickup. Wide receiver, once again, where we are with wide receivers, hopefully we won't be running the ball with these guys.
No.
I mean, hopefully we'll be able to have multi-point offense there. All right, let's go back. Avery Fortenberry, offensive line from Era, Texas. Is it Era?
Yeah. Avery, obviously he's the brother of Aaron Fortenberry, who was an awesome center for us.
Exactly.
First team all-conference player. From a small town. I got to meet him today. Big dude. Okay.
Well, 6'5", 295.
Well, and let me tell you, he isn't fat. He's got even room to grow on that. And the kid's just a freshman. Okay. But they gray shirted him. One thing the coaches said today, he was down about to around 250, 260, something like that. And they told him, you got to put weight on. So in that gray shirt period, he worked on his weight. And now he's up to 295. He's going to be a lot bigger by the time he gets on the field. I think this is a great signing.
Yeah, that's a great name to have.
We know what his brother did.
I know. He's a
and
legacy.
He looks just like his brother. I mean, yeah, he's the spitting image of him.
He's auto in. He's a legacy. All right. Brandon Garner, linebacker from Mansfield, Texas.
Yeah, Brandon Garner originally committed to Purdue. Didn't like it. Things didn't work out, and North Texas jumped all over him. He's very athletic. He, I guess the only thing with him is he's 5'11", so he's not – that's probably the only thing that kept him from going to some of the BCS-type schools. But he loves North Texas. They were real excited about him. He's a guy that could help you right away because linebacker is a position, obviously, where we had some huge graduation losses with – our favorite player, Zach Orr, and Will Wright on the outside.
All right. Willie Ivory, running back from Sulphur Springs. Love the name Willie Ivory for a running back.
Willie Ivory, this guy is like the heir apparent to Breland. And, I mean, I'm not saying he's going to walk right in and be Breland Chancellor, but if you watch the film on this guy, he's electric. He's explosive.
Slippery.
He's slippery. He can move around. He's fun to watch. They have him listed at running back. I personally think he could be a great wide receiver, similar to like what Breland Chancellor was. But for special teams, he's a guy that immediately they have to give consideration to. I'm not saying he's going to start right away on kick returns, punt returns, but he has that capability to take it back every time.
All right. Andrew Jones, defensive back from Mesquite. North Mesquite.
Andrew Jones, I mean, basically, you know, great player. He brings speed. He is one of the fastest guys. I think he's going to run track at North Texas. He's already talked. I see on Twitter that he's got some of the track guys he's already talking to. But, you know, he's a legit sprinter type speed guy that, you know, was a lockdown corner in a pretty tough division playing out there at North Mesquite.
I love one of the comments on this guy. He's in two seasons playing cornerback. Jones allowed only two catches by wide receivers.
I mean, that's,
and you know, he
that's
wants
unheard
those back.
Of.
You know he wants those back. He's a great guy to have. Some good numbers there, and we're going to need some hard hitters in that position. And Tillman Johnson, defensive end from Round Rock.
You know, that I said Matt got excited about that other player, but the one guy that he went on the most about at the press conference was Tillman. And Tillman was a guy that originally committed to Texas State real early on. Max said he and Chico Canales saw him at a North Texas camp, and he was hands down the best player at the camp. They said he was just the most athletic, most ferocious, made the most plays. So they decided they were going to go after him. They kept hitting him, kept calling him, doing everything that they could within the rules, and then finally got him to come on a visit to North Texas while he had been committed to Texas State since the summertime. And he got down, took a look at the campus, met the coaching staff, and he flipped from his Texas State commit to North Texas. But they really like this guy. I mean, they think he's a guy that can help them right away. He's very athletic, just ferocious, a good defensive player.
We need a defensive end. We need a named defensive end. I mean, you think about some of the guys we've had in that position. I'm ready for somebody to really step up. Connor Means, quarterback from Deer Park, another a recruit that a lot of people had a lot of things to say on.
He was there in person. Real good looking athlete. He's not as tall as Josh Greer, but he's pretty close. I mean, he's all a 6'3", 6'4". You know, had a very impressive high school career. Very athletic. I think that the change with this whole group of quarterbacks, Derek Thompson was fantastic. He's got some big shoes to fill. These guys that they're bringing up are going to be a little bit more on the mobile side, and I think that's where Connor Means fits in. This guy can run a little bit. He's not Johnny Manziel, but he's got good speed. And he's got good size, he's got good instincts, and he's here early. That's the big thing with him is he's already enrolled, even though he would have been a senior this spring semester. He's enrolled at North Texas, so he's going to get a huge head start. I mean, we haven't had that many freshman high school quarterbacks enroll early. So I think that's going to give him a nice little advantage in terms of his career at North Texas.
Yeah, we've got a little log jam there at quarterback. Seems like we've got guys, and we're pretty deep there, and plenty of people sitting around. And then we got more guys coming in. You're just kind of wondering where everything's going to fit out. With the controversy, with the workout room reports on some of the other quarterbacks that we thought would be the heir apparent. I mean, there's a lot of controversy, and who's going to step up and fill that position is anyone right now.
Well, I thought, you know, they interviewed Tim McMahon, our old buddy that's at the Dallas Morning News today in the show, the recruiting show. And one of the things he said is, hey, you know, the Texas A&M didn't know who was going to play quarterback, and then Johnny Manziel showed up on the scene. And now, not saying that anyone's going to be Johnny Manziel, but just because you don't have a returning quarterback doesn't mean that things can't work out well for you. And having competition at that position is nothing but good for North Texas. I mean, how many years under Dickey, and even at times they're under Dodge, did we go into a season where we were just like, man, we don't have very many quarterbacks, you know? I mean, either injuries or this or that or whatever else. So having some depth's not a bad thing at all.
All right, Keshawn McClain, defensive back out of Rosenberg, Texas.
Guy played multiple positions. He's very versatile, and they said he wasn't versatile because they were trying to move him around. You know, he wasn't doing good at positions. It's because he was just very talented. They have him pegged as a safety. And he's a big hitter, you know,
Buckles,
and that's exactly
Jones,
what we, you know, and that's exactly what we need. He's very athletic. They got on him early on. He stayed loyal to us, even though there were other schools interested in him. That I think that's a real solid pickup. He's not a star name out there like Guri, but he's a real solid player that we need.
Yeah, I was excited to see that he was going to be playing safety because he was very highly thought of in a lot of recruits as different circles as an athlete. All right, Christopher Miles, offensive line from Flower Mound.
Chris Miles is sort of the genius of this class. I mean, this guy had offers from Ivy League schools and all, you know, has all kinds of academic accolades. But to go along with that, he's 6'5", 291 pounds, and he's not fat. He's actually fairly lean at that size. Got a huge frame, runs really well. Another guy that jumped on the North Texas bandwagon early, and I saw him out there recruiting for us, supporting us all along the way. You know, great addition. You know, probably as an offensive lineman, looking at a redshirt year, especially with the offensive line we have returning. But excited to see what he's going to look like after a year in that Wintridge strength and conditioning program.
I love the depth at offensive line, and hopefully we can keep that up. Jalen Montgomery, linebacker from Mesquite.
Just like a lot of the linebackers they brought in, they're not real tall, but they can run like the wind and will knock your block off. I mean, I love this guy. Got to watch a lot of his film. He's just, if you haven't had the chance, like I said, all the videos are on the Go Mean Green site, and of course on the official site. Take a little time when you get a break and watch this guy Jalen Montgomery play. I mean, he three seasons all district, first team, I believe, or three seasons first team all district. Yeah, that's pretty in that league, you know, with Mesquite and some of those teams out there. That's a huge accomplishment. I think this guy's one that could help us. And again, linebacker's a position that we needed help with.
All right, here we go with a kicker, Trevor Moore, kicker from Edmond, Oklahoma.
Yeah, Mac shared a little story. The kicking camp that's like the nation, the number one kicking camp, I think his name's Jamie Pohl.
Cole,
I'm sorry. He was a kicker at Iowa State under Mac. He started these camps. Now they've exploded. Mac and him have a great relationship. This guy that played for Mac and set up these camps approached Mac about how good he said, you know, he's got a good leg. They all have good legs, but when it comes down to pressure, this guy steps up to a completely higher level. And, you know, that's the kind of guy you'd like to have as your kicker. I have no idea where he's going to fit into the whole scheme of things next year, but for them to give a full scholarship to this guy, when a lot of times North Texas has had kickers walk on and not offer them full scholarships, tells me they think very highly of him. And I could tell from Mac's comments that he's real excited to have this guy in the program.
Yeah, it's good to see. Oh, Kieran Rutherford, wide receiver from Carthage, the other half of the
he
twosome.
Is.
And he's a little bit overshadowed by the T3, but
yeah.
He's an awesome player. You watch the video. It's amazing.
The interesting thing from Coach Mac today was that he said, you know, he's overshadowed by T. But if you think about it, this guy could have even bigger upside because he's 6'5" and he's lean. You know, he needs to add some muscle. That Frank Wintridge program will do that. But think of what this guy could be if he gets some more size and gets some more time in the program. He has a huge upside. He may not help you right away, but give him a couple years and he could be something really special.
All right, TJ.
Tahulo,
sorry.
Yeah.
From Keller.
And Coach Mac said he just likes to call him TJ because it's easier. But this guy is a Tongan player. I love this guy on Twitter, man. I got to tell you, I cannot wait to meet him in person. He just has a real spirit, a real passion to him. He's excited about being at North Texas. He's excited to play Division I football. He goes about 6'2", 288 pounds, and he will knock your block off. He is very, very intense.
All About UNT says that they call him Tui. So
Tui,
there we
Tui,
go. That'll be
right.
Easy to do. All right, Jeffrey Wilson, running back from Elkhart, Texas, 6'9", 190.
You know, he was a late addition, but hearing Mac talk about him today, they've been on him all along, and evidently there was some kind of pie contest at one of the UNT camps that they had, and Jeffrey's dad won the contest. He ate the most pies, and they had a great time, and they were laughing at it.
They had a pie contest.
It was a pie eating contest, and it was between this Jeffrey Wilson's dad and Mike Simmons, the offensive line coach, were the finalists. And they said Mike Simmons was cheating and not eating them right and stuff like that. But this guy, Mr. Wilson, was just tearing him up, and he won the contest. But they said they developed a bond with him at the camp. And that's a recurrent theme you keep hearing. All these camps that Matt keeps having, and they keep breaking attendance records and stuff like that. I think like 75% of this class, they got to evaluate at one of their camps. So it's having a huge impact.
Well, that's good. Running back, 6 foot, 190. So he's a good size running back.
No, he's a guy that you'll probably most definitely see redshirt this year, but he gives you more of a big back option. He could be a lot bigger than 190. He will be. If you see his dad and some of his family members, he is going to be bigger. He's going to be a big dude when he gets through the couple of years of redshirt in a couple of years.
All right, let's talk about the transfers, and then we will talk about that whole gray area. But transfers, Josh Greer, quarterback, Arlington, Texas, from Navarro Junior College.
Yeah, that he was there today. Real tall, good looking athlete. You know, I look at Josh. I guess he signed with Alabama Birmingham. Things didn't work out, and then he transferred to Navarro Junior College, and won their division and won a bowl game. He did have an injury, but he brings you a guy. I think this was an insurance policy for UNT. I mean, he brings you a guy that has played at a higher level. Now, he hadn't played Division One, but he's played JUCO, which is a step ahead of high school competition. So he gives you a little bit more experience to go along with McNulty, who does have some game experience, not a lot. You know, I think it was an insurance policy, but I think the guy's got a big upside. If he can stay healthy, he's got some size, he's got some wheels. I watched his film at Navarro. He made some big plays, and he's got a really good arm. So I was real pleased to see this. And now that, of course, Brock Berglund's not with the program anymore, it makes even more sense.
All right, A.J. Smith, linebacker from Miami, Oklahoma, Northeast Oklahoma A&M.
Yeah, he was there today. Very good-looking athlete, very productive in junior college. You know, he's a guy that can step in and help you right away. He's a guy that could maybe be starting this fall.
Big shoes to fill. All right, Anthony Wallace, linebacker. This one's real interesting to me, so talk to me.
Anthony Wallace is probably the biggest impact guy that can come in right away. He's kind of like a JUCO guy because he was at Oregon. I mean, this is a four-star Rivals player, okay, out of Dallas Skyline. Goes to Oregon, plays as a true freshman, okay? Oregon doesn't have any gimme games. They play some tough competition. For whatever reason, things don't work out. He gets homesick, whatever, comes back, sits out last season, but he is tearing it up, okay, in the weight room program. I think someone told me he was number, and AAUNT in the chat room can confirm this, but I want to say he was like the number one guy in the offseason program weight-wise, lifting weights. I think this guy, and again, Zach Orr, huge shoes to fill, but boy, this guy has a real good chance to come in and help this team defensively.
Well, you gotta feel good about the defense, and especially the linebacking position, because we got some good recruits, young guys, but these two transfers here, right here with AJ Smith and Anthony Wallace, this is exciting stuff. I mean, because right there you've got some good experience and some good size players that you can keep it at that level that we played at last year.
That's exactly right. And I think just all the comments talking to people behind the scenes and stuff today, this Anthony Wallace addition, he is everything that they hoped that he would be and then some. And having him for 2 years is a real boost.
All right, so you know, one person we didn't talk about here who's not on here is this whole gray area, is this Caleb Chumley situation. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I think Caleb Chumley is a really intriguing prospect. I think North Texas is very excited about this young man. Basically, the plan of attack right now is that he is going to gray shirt. For those of you that don't understand gray shirting, hey, join the club. It's a very confusing concept for a lot of us. But essentially, instead of signing with this class, he is going to enroll in school in the fall and then will be a part of the 2015 signing class in January of next year. So essentially, it is just like a scholarship offer, but instead of joining this class, he's going to be joining the next class. The reason for this, and the reason we didn't sign as many guys this time around, you're allowed to sign 25, is because we had so many walk-ons that performed so well that we had to sort of backload some scholarships.
Right.
And if they hadn't been on campus for 2 years, then you're required by the NCAA regulations to make them a part of the first class of your recruiting season. So they had to be part of this January class. But like Coach Max said today, those four guys, Caden Kirby, starting center for 13 games, all-conference USA freshman team. who is the other one? Now I'm going to forget. Someone in the chat room is going to remind me. But, oh, Blake Masick. Blake Masick was another guy in that group. This guy was a freshman and came out and was one of the best punters in the conference.
Yes, no doubt.
So anyway, what I'm saying is the gray shirt isn't set up for Mr. Chumley, but I will tell you this. He's a very intriguing athlete. 6'5", 240 pounds, great athlete, star on his basketball team, wants to play quarterback. Give him a shot. See what happens.
So is it surprising as highly ranked as he is and the, you know, the stature of his recruit? I mean, you know, the teams had wanted him, that he's here as a gray shirt and not just a standard recruit.
I think he wanted to be at North Texas. I think he really liked North Texas when he took his official visit, and he liked the coaching staff, and he liked where they envisioned him to be. And at the end of the day, he will be a scholarship player here eventually. It's just not going to be this season.
Yeah, 9703 mentioned Masick, Caldwell, Kirby, Byers.
Yeah, Kenny Byers. Do you think he deserved a scholarship?
His tackling ability was amazing.
Well, and the beautiful thing about that is he's back for two more years.
Yeah, yeah. He's an exciting player to watch. I was just amazed watching him and how well he performed. So what else? Tell me what else. I mean, we went through all the players here. We talked about all the recruits we signed. A lot of great guys. A lot of top 10 or top 100 list people on here.
We better go to Vito because it's probably time for us to put him on.
That's right. I wonder if he's going to be. All right. Well, then, for those of you listening on iTunes, you won't notice a difference. For those of you listening on Mixler Live, we were going to pause for a second, going to mute it out. So just hold on. All right, joining us on the phone is the beat writer for the University of North Texas, Brett Vito. Brett, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me, guys.
So, Brett, we kind of went through the class on a player-by-player basis. Obviously, exciting day for North Texas with this recruiting class. Can you give us just a couple of the key thoughts that you had, having followed it so closely?
Yeah, you know, I think they did pretty well for themselves, really. And I thought Dan McCartney made a really good point, and it was something that I had been thinking about, you know, or had mentioned or thought about a little bit. I don't think I'd put it on the blog, but I think with just a late bowl game and things like that, I think the fallout from that season is more down the line another year. And with that being said, I think that just makes what they did all the more impressive, because I think they put together a pretty good class that really kind of hit on a lot of the areas that they needed to address. I think they really needed to look at trying to get some playmakers at wide receiver, especially with the number of guys that they were losing at those positions, you know, or maybe a little bit of running back to kind of rebuild. There were some older guys on the roster, and I think they did that, and, you know, got some good playmakers across the board, and thought that was pretty important.
You know, everybody talks about T. Guree and what he meant to this program. He had some other options. He stuck true to North Texas all the way through. Talk a little bit about Guree and what he means to this class.
Well, you know, I think every great class kind of has its bell cow guy. And I think he's pretty clearly that for North Texas. Although I think there's a lot of good depth across the board for just quality players. I think Fonzo Davis is a really good player that they were able to pull in. And some other guys like that. You know, spread throughout it, the Jalen Adams kid that they got from Oklahoma, I think, is another really good player. But, you know, he's one of those guys that everybody knows because he went to the state title game. They won it. And, you know, he's just somebody that you can kind of point to and say, hey, this is a really good player that made the decision to come to North Texas. And I think that's kind of what they've been looking for a long time, is to get a few of those guys that you can point to and say, hey, this is a guy that could have gone somewhere else but decided to come here, and you kind of use it as your example going forward.
Brett, you have to think about, you know, what were the great things like T. Guree committing to the class, and then what were the setbacks? I mean, was there, you know, obviously Xavier Washington was a little bit of a disappointment, but I think there's also a silver lining to that as well.
Yeah, you know, that would have been another big-time guy in the class that you could potentially point to and say, hey, this was a guy that had, you know, had some really good options and decided to come to North Texas. You know, but as far as, like, where they fell short, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could look at maybe defensive line-wise, maybe you could have used a couple of more defensive linemen in there. That's always used to be a point where it's always hard to address because so many schools are looking for defensive linemen and they just don't grow on trees. They're very hard to find. But they did get a couple of really good players at those positions. But maybe you would have liked a little bit more depth there. But, you know, I think it's hard to kind of quibble with anything that they really did in terms of putting together.
Coach Mack mentioned today in the press conference that they still had a spot left to give. If you were sitting in his shoes, what would you want to do with that spot?
Well, I don't know. I think it just all depends on if there's any guy that qualifies late. I mean, I think at this point, if you're North Texas, you sit back, you evaluate, you say, okay, these are the guys we got. This is how it all played out. These are the players we think can really help us. And maybe these are the areas where we could have used another guy or we could have addressed another positional need or something along those types of deals and say, you know, just wait and see if anybody falls through the cracks to you. And I'm sure they've got a bunch of guys that they know or potentially could qualify late that they've got their eye on. It's just a matter of whether any of those guys, you know, do qualify late to where they could go and grab them. You know, you think back, I mean, Aaron Weathers was a guy that, you know, he was a guy that found out that he could transfer out a year early, that he didn't need to graduate because he was a qualifier out of high school, and they pulled him in and at the very last minute 1 year, and he ended up being a terrific player for him for 3 years. I mean, you could look for some kind of similar scenario like that.
Hey, Brett, you know, and as good as this class is, you've always got to look at what the rest of Conference USA is doing, and we know now that Southern Miss is going to be in the Western Division. Can you give us a feel? I know you stay in close contact with the beat writers at those other schools. How does this North Texas class shape up against the remainder of Conference USA?
You know, that's a good question. I think that's one of those things that we'll be able to look at more closely tomorrow once all those classes are officially on the board and you can kind of see how they all rate out. I think Louisiana Tech did really well for themselves. I think I was looking at one place where they had a ton of really good commits. Southern Miss did pretty well, especially considering they've struggled in recent years. But, you know, I think once we look tomorrow morning, once all those classes are on there, we'll be able to see a little bit better. And plus, you know, North Texas, they don't have a lot of North Texas's players counted in at this point. And some of them that they were counting in are going to come out, you know, because they had – like Caleb Chumley in a gray shirt, and he had the two defensive linemen from, although they weren't very highly rated, from Dallas that are counted in. So, I mean, that'll be another adjustment that they'll make. And I think once those adjustments are made, you'll be able to tell a little bit better how they did and how they fared.
Brett, you teased about Mac's contract being close to finalizing. Can you say anything more about that, or can your readers – look forward to any updates? I know that's been something people have been asking about, is when's that Mac extension going to get finalized?
Well, we keep prying and keep asking the pertinent people that are involved in it. And I don't know. It's been a big back and forth deal. And, you know, I asked about it tonight, and I think I think this makes sense. I mean, once you're starting to get a lot of lawyers involved and a lot of moving parts, because you've got, This isn't like a deal where, you know, Rick's old friends with Mike Peterson and they meet up in a back office somewhere and say, hey, what do you think? What'd you pay last time? What do you think we can do? Blah, blah, blah. And you hammer it out in 5 minutes. You know, you've got Mac's agent. You've got Mac. You've got Rick. You've got the Board of Regents that you've got to get on board with it. You got our new president that's coming in. I mean, there's just a lot of people that are going to have to sign off on this thing. And, you know, I mean, and it's not a huge rush type thing either. You know, you're looking at an extension. He's already under contract. Everybody knows he's not going anywhere. You know, this is kind of his. He, you know, I could be wrong, but I think he views this as, and he's said this before, you know, that he views this as a place where he would like to stay and really build something. And, I mean, there's no reason why he would bail now. So there's no real time deal pressing with it, especially now that signing day's passed. You know, you're not trying to tell recruits that you're going to be there because they're already all signed up for the year. So I think we'll hear something in the next several days, but I'm not I'm not real sure as far as when that'll be. And nobody is talking about just like basic parameters. I mean, we know they're all in place, but nobody's going to talk about them, or at least they've been very reluctant to do so.
Well, Brett, as we bring this segment to a close, and thank you again. And Evan's actually got a question for you. Sorry, Evan, I'm conducting this interview.
Well, yeah, well, issues with the sound. Brett, one of the things I was going to talk about, I know you keep up with this, and a lot of people were, just because it was on.
Still there?
Oh, yeah, sorry. One of the things that a lot of people saw on Twitter today, and we have other recruits from other, you know, sports that signed today and wrote letters and stuff. Can you kind of fill us in on some highlights of the other sports?
You know, that's interesting, because I think North Texas traditionally has kind of waited an extra day to announce soccer. There's not a whole lot of other sports to sign. I mean, when you started talking about major sports, you see more of the basketball in the fall period, and then in the early period of the spring, and then, you know, you see a few other sports. But, you know, I didn't see, you know, any official release on any of the other classes that they signed. And those are classes that typically we don't run around and chase, you know, trying to figure out who they're going to sign. I can pretty much guarantee you that John Helen's going to sign half the stud players in Dallas in soccer, but, you know, when it gets announced, you know, it's kind of up in the air. It wouldn't surprise me if we saw tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what I was referring to, because I know I saw some on Twitter, some soccer players had signed, and so I was thinking we would see something at the athletic department, but I guess they're waiting for tomorrow on that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe I could be wrong about that. I mean, I was so wrapped up in football. I mean, I don't think I ran back and checked real quick to see if they released soccer, and I think typically they wait an extra day, but I'm not absolutely positive on that.
Hey, Brett, you know, we have the chat room going. We had a question in the chat room for you from SSP. She wanted to know about fall transfers, if you had heard anything in terms of any transfers that might be joining the program. And someone else mentioned the guy Dan Cotman from the San Diego State transfer that played at Geyer. But it, you got any tidbits on that?
Yeah, you know, as they become a little bit more full in terms of scholarships, you know, they've retained their guys. I think we may see a bit fewer of those. I mean, we did, you know, you have Anthony Wallace coming in next year. Anthony Cotman's, you know, or Cotman, I forget his first name, Cotman, Dan Cotman's going to walk on. And I think there was another guy that was at Wyoming that played at, we talked about it. He played out in East Texas, and I think he's going to walk on as well. And he was a pretty good player for Wyoming. So it wouldn't surprise me, just because of the fact North Texas is coming off a good year. They've got a lot to sell, you know, so you become a bit more of attractive of a destination, especially for kids coming back home that were maybe went away for college and it didn't work out. So I wouldn't be surprised to see a few more of them, but I haven't really caught wind of anybody else that's coming back outside of those guys.
Well, Brett, we always appreciate you. I know this is a busy time. Now, also, I wanted to ask you, for fans that want to read some of the articles and stuff that you have coming out, can you give us a little preview of what to look for?
Well, yeah, I mean, we did. Of course, we went over to signing day, and we've got a big story talking about the staff addressing kind of their skill position needs, and then we went through and wrote a pretty extensive notebook on just the tidbits and other things that kind of came out during the signing day press conference. And so that'll be in tomorrow's paper, and then off to Houston in the morning here. Unfortunately, I've caught my post football season flu that I get every year, so I'll be heading out of Houston, and we'll see if the guys can, you know, bounce back after losing two straight games. They got a game against Rice tomorrow, which is a game they really need to win. So Bryce has only won one game in conference play. So you got, I think it's 2-4, 2-5 North Texas against 1-7 Rice or something. So it's going to be a pretty important game for them trying to win.
Yeah, it was such an exciting day like we had today with signing day. It just didn't seem like basketball, men's basketball, was a real good topic to mix with it tonight. But we always hold out hope that they're going to turn things around under Coach Benford. So And anyway, Brett, we really appreciate your time. I know this has been a long week for you, and nobody covers it better. Again, Brett Vito with the DRC. You can read his Mean Green blog out there. What's that address, Evan?
I always just follow the tweets because Brett, you know, Brett follows the, I follow his tweets on there, and then I go and look at the stories from there. So that's the easiest way to find it, or link, or just search Mean Green blog.
Well, that's one way. Or the other thing is you could go to meangreenblog.dittonrc.com. So that's a good way to check out what's going on with the Mean Green. Thanks again, Brett.
Thanks, Cass. We'll see you later.
All right. Thanks. Killing me, man. Killing me.
I owed you a few of those.
I was trying to adjust the sound here because we were having all sorts of fun. I swear, I think he's using a Nokia phone from 85. We always have problems with this phone. But, hey, I'm glad he joined us. You know, he always keeps up on there. You really should follow him on Twitter. If you don't have Twitter, that's just sad. But you really should just go there to follow it. Just search North Texas.
Follow GoMeanGreen.com.
Yeah, Harry updates the Mean Green fan.
Yeah.
GoMeanGreen.com
Twitter's
on there.
Twitter's fun. I like Twitter.
You just go on there and you get the quick hits of what's going on without having to read the rants by some of the people on there. Just see what's going on.
You don't have to be a stalker like some people, you know, that I know.
You're right. So with that, we will wrap up the 120th episode. We probably will do one at the end of the spring game. All that was just announced.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And listen to this. Spring practices open to the public, so it's not out of the realm of possibility we could do a podcast at a spring practice. How fun would that be?
Yes. Fun.
Delayed response there.
I love setting up all this event games. It's so much fun. Yeah, no, it would be great. Hopefully the weather will be
March
nice.
March 3rd is when it starts. They're going to do Tuesday, Thursdays, and Saturdays, which stretches it out longer. And then the actual game's on April 12th. And they're also going to do the Hall of Fame induction on the same day.
Oh, we didn't even talk about the schedule for next year, which has officially been announced. Everything.
SMU, baby!
SMU.
UT.
UT. UTSA in San Antonio.
In the season.
Thanksgiving weekend, so you got a little extra. And
I'm telling you what, I'm excited about SMU. I think we have a chance to really come close, to, if not selling out Apogee, if we have a good turnout against UT. I mean, seriously.
I think there'll be a good turnout against UTA. But UT, let's talk about the crowd that's going to be at the UT game.
Oh, well, I mean, they're going to give us the allotment, and we're going to sell it all. I mean, that goes without saying. But I'm saying that SMU game with a good performance against UT could be a fantastic turnout. But that being said, the game I'm most excited about is UTSA in San Antonio. The Christmas tree lights on the Riverwalk.
Yeah.
But not only that, we owe those suckers. I am still hurting from that loss. They stole the conference championship from us, and they should not have done it. It's a crime against humanity that happened, and we owe them a payback big time.
As Harry pounds the desk, that's what the sound was you heard. Yes, it will be, and it'll be a great game. And that's an extended weekend. Everybody should be able to make it down there. Everybody will be gone by Saturday for Thanksgiving anyway. Just head down the 35.
Yeah, just take it easy. Don't eat that much, and you save some room for Mexican food.
Mexican food.
All right, with that, we will close 128, and we will talk to you next time. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.